Hello, folks. Welcome. It's Sean Day, but today is Sean Hammy Day, or Hammy Day, basically. Joe, we have with us today Sean, as usual. Oh man, you got the flossing. You got the flossing shot up there, Sean. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. No, I thought Udy deserved more attention.
Nice. Celebrating the ordinals and the advent of more shit coins on Bitcoin. With us today is an old friend and member of the Material Indicators community who has had an amazing journey in trading, and somebody that dove in headfirst to this insane world. And decided to go full time and learn how to trade. My favorite way to learn anything: sink or swim. And so I applaud that. People that have worked for me in the past hate me before they love me, because I always make them just plunge into the deep end of the pool. And if they swim, great. So Hammy, welcome to the show. I appreciate you being here. And I know that you've worked with Sean a lot over time, but maybe if you could kind of tell us a little bit about yourself, how you kind of ended up saying, hey, I think I should trade full time for my living. And then let's get into kind of what that journey was like.
Sure. So basically, I started in the winter of 2020, sort of Christmas time. And, you know, COVID came in at the time. For a couple of years before that, I was running my own startup. I basically hired a couple of guys to put together an AR game. So we were working on that, but I was like suffering because, you know, I always like to do things at my speed, my pace, and like have a ton of ideas. And like most of the people are not as quick to follow through, or they are lazy, or, you know, you have to motivate them. And like, it was always pissing me off having to deal with other people. And then add on top of that COVID, which kind of made the whole project useless, because people were locked in their homes. And that was like an AR game where you're supposed to walk outside and like treasure hunt for stuff with your phone. So that was not going to happen. And, you know, I've had it up till here anyway. So I was like, okay, I got to do something else. And that something else has to hit a couple of points for me. One of them was the world was going to shit. So I figured, and I haven't done any investing or anything before. I always had like a job with a monthly salary. So, you know, I had no experience in anything else. And I thought, I need to invest. I need to put some money into something that will be lasting value. And so I started Googling like what that lasting value would be. And, you know, just basically start from zero and like looking at like, okay, gold, metals, whatever, like, how does even one go about buying any of those? Is it even worth it? How does it work? And then I always thought, like, I always had a natural sort of don't trust anyone attitude. And I always...
Right. I can confirm this.
Yeah. And I'm always... like my brain always finds 1,000 things that can go wrong with something. And if that something is not what I can fully control, then I feel like it's just too dangerous. So when I found sort of like what crypto is about, that kind of started to hit that point. Because you're, you know, in a decentralized world, you can control what you're doing and nobody else is, ideally. And right. Also, I thought, like, you know, putting money into crypto. And at that point, obviously, I didn't make a distinction between Bitcoin and shitcoins and whatnot. Like, I didn't know anything about it. So, you know, that also hit the point of sort of lasting value, because it's like new technology. I could see that sort of going into the future of having more value across the world. And I also thought even like I could bring my project over to the blockchain, and like, I wish my people were on board with that. They weren't. They thought it's a fad. It's like very narrow user base and whatnot. And then, you know, if we did that at the time, looking at what XC did and some of the other projects, I think it would be millionaires already and possibly wouldn't even have to finish the fucking project. You know what I mean? But that didn't happen. So I basically plunged in December and like literally Googled what is the blockchain. Like, you know, that's where I started. And then, you know, I Googled, I was like, oh my God, there's like many chains. And like, oh wow, like let's Google what chains are there. And like, okay, what is Ethereum? What is this and that? And basically I started to map out this whole space, just like any other market research I would have done in my previous jobs. Right. So like, you know, what are the main chains? What are the, you know, what's the infrastructure like? How is that built up? What are the projects, the players? So I would map out the main chains and like, okay, what are the wallets on that chain? What are the oracles that chain uses? What are the DeFi protocols? And like, you know, I would have to learn like what the hell is DeFi and like all that stuff as I went. So I don't know. I mean, just tell me guys if I'm rambling, because
no, you're good. Keep going. Yeah. That's great.
So, you know, so I started doing that quite methodically, you know, with pen and paper and kind of mapping it out in my head. And I guess I was kind of lucky because very early on, I have found some really good sources on YouTube. I think the first one of note that I found was Benjamin Cowen. And I started listening to what he's saying about Bitcoin and some of the bigger cryptos, as well as, you know, general macro. And I found that really useful. And I immediately subscribed to his service. I was in his Telegram. And that was like week two of my crypto journey. And in that Telegram group, I was again very lucky because there was a guy who kept sharing material indicators, fire charts. And I thought, I was like, okay, first off, that's really pretty. Second of all, I mean, you know, like I'm being honest here, right? Like sure. At that point, I knew fuck all about TA or anything at all. And I thought like, yeah, this looks kind of different than all the sea of crap out there. And so I joined the MI Telegram, and, at the time, and this is like 2020, December, 2021, January, there were like a lot less people, and they were more the trader types. Like they were sharing charts and like TA. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, I don't want to say a word. I'm just going to like quietly lurk here. Like I understood nothing and I didn't want to appear dumb, which I clearly was. So, you know, I was just hiding out there. But then I thought like, why don't I, you know, just subscribe to your service and maybe, you know, learn. I mean, that's what I was there to do, to learn as quickly as I can. And so it went from that point on. And I think end of December, beginning of January, I started making small buys. I set up my Binance account. I put some euros on there and I started to DCA mainly shitcoins. I mean, obviously, that's how most people start. I bought a little bit of Bitcoin as well. But like I clearly remember how it felt in my gut to actually let go of my first $100. Like I'm putting like, that's a lot of money and I'm going to buy this magic internet thing with it. And like, fuck me. What, like I just absolutely no clue what I'm doing, but I'm trying. So, you know, and like I spent 18, 20 hours a day, 7 days a week, just consuming content
on that little tiny laptop.
Oh, yeah. Like I had a tiny laptop, you know, like I wasn't ready, but I was like, you know, you don't start out knowing everything and having all the tools that you have today. So yeah.
You ramped up pretty rapidly though, right? I mean, you after that first $100, it wasn't very many months until you were trying a lot of different strategies. And well, maybe not a lot of different strategies, but you were trying more complex things and diving in pretty deep. I mean, do you feel like that progression went fast for you, or were you still, am I just remembering that wrong?
Yeah. Like I do think it went at my pace, and that's exactly what I have had the problem with in all my previous jobs or any projects. Like I was always told like to work less because I make others look silly or give them more job to do or like whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, here I could literally like, you know, watching YouTube content at 1.5x because I had a schedule of what are the things every day that I have to watch. You know, some of them today would be considered utter rubbish, but at the time it was helping me to learn, you know, even watching some of the Schillers, because, you know, I need to learn about the behavior of people in the space or, you know, what everyone's doing and why. And so, like, everything was useful. So that's what I was doing, like, literally all day, quite literally.
Wow. How many shitcoin investments did you end up making?
Yeah, so, like, obviously, you know, when you map out all the different sort of narratives and segments and, you know, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I did have way too many, probably around 150 different shit coins. but I was like, okay, I need to get two or three gaming projects on this chain and like two or three this project and two or three that project and like one will, you know, make it big and whatever. And then, you know, I need some layer twos and like what other layer ones I need still, or I'm going to, you know, get more allocation of the bigger ones, but I'm going to.
So this was, you were kind of portfolio building then, not actually actively trading, right?
Yeah. I would say more like portfolio building. I basically did everything spot. And what I did at first was like, you know, most of my stuff was basically HODL positions. And then what I would do is like, I got really good at buying the dip. So like basically what you would call today longing green candles. I was trained because I started 21 January. So up till April, I was a fucking genius, right? So buying every dip. My aim was to sort of, you know, trade my entries. So some of my later buys, I would buy the dips and sort of when we are going sideways for a couple of weeks, I would have been selling the top of the range and like buying the bottom of the range and trying to sort of make small trades like that. At the time, I didn't know it's called a range or like, you know, I didn't know support resistance or whatever. It's just kind of like, I guess, intuitively on the chart, it felt like price may go there or like now we're going sideways and this is the time to sort of buy, sell and sort of lower your average entry. So I was doing that. And then, you know, when I subscribed to Fire Charts, like a month later, I subscribed to the MTF indicator and I was fascinated by the bots. And I mean, I was lucky enough that you and Keith sort of coached me through, you know, how to set up my bots early on. And so I was trading some coins with the bots for a while. And then, you know, April, May happened.
Yes, we all felt that.
Yeah, like I was fucking devastated, like utterly gutted. I can't even find the words, like that sinking feeling. And it wasn't even like my portfolio was still doing good after the crash because shitcoin started really bleeding only like 2-3 days after.
Right.
And I was trading the dump, like spot trading, you know, buying, selling on the weeks, sort of like catching the knife. And
yeah,
so I made some good spot trades there. I mean, putting aside the fact that like it was so unhealthy doing everything spot, completely naked, and like, you know, small laptop, 100 positions. I mean,
yeah, that's brutal. Like, watching the charts for 24 hours a day.
Yeah, like at the time, I would know every day the price of 150 shitcoins by heart, because I would keep going through them every few hours, like, you know, recording in my little table the changes of, you know, what my position, like fucking insanity. Like I would not recommend anyone to do that. It was good for learning.
I was about to say, because I'm sure that during this process of that like grueling, painful process, because I've done similar things in my life and didn't sleep for weeks and all that. But part of what's happening there, though, is you start to see how things move. You start to understand resistance and support. You start to feel what overall market conditions do to things. And, you know, you start realizing mistakes you make and things that work. And so I think while that must have been painful going through it, it probably was a really good kind of learning ground. And I probably think it helped lead you to kind of where you are now. But anyway, go ahead and finish from where you were. Sorry.
I mean, oh, absolutely. Like, you know, especially with 150 shitcoins, not all of them are doing different things. So, you know, you start recognizing chart patterns. And I remember when I started talking to Sean, like at the beginning, before he was sort of coaching me on trading and TA, I had these names for chart patterns. Oh, God, it's slightly embarrassing, but like I call them sort of animal names or like, you know, other names, like made up names.
Nice.
Like, I don't know.
So did you have to like translate for Sean what you meant on all of those?
No, he was just fucking laughing. Like, he didn't give a fuck what I mean. He just thought it was hilarious.
I should also say, when me and Hammy, we met in MI, and I'm people are in the Telegram, you know, I'm forthright, but I was going around all the time going, you know, shitcoins, shitcoiners and blah, blah, blah. And which is actually a term of endearment. And Hammy got really upset with me. I don't know if you remember that, Hammy, before we
started.
And you're going like, who is this fucker going around calling us shitcoiners? And so on. So, there you go.
Yeah. It probably did happen, but, you know, I got with the program. And I mean, I just chatted Sean up in direct message. I think at the very beginning of my TA journey, because like, and I think it was still in the bull run phase, because I was watching some videos on like, you know, shitcoin parabolic moves and how, you know, because I was trying to figure out when to TP, and some guys were showing, you know, parabolic fib levels, and like, I was like, okay, I just too difficult. I don't understand fibs. I don't know how to draw them properly. So I was like, I'm going to hit this guy up. He seems like a pro. So I was like, oh, hi, we are in MI or something like that. And like, I heard you say somewhere, you know, you help some traders. So, you know, could you help me and like teach me how to draw fibs? And he said, yes. So that's how we started. And I remember, and this was also like, again, I was really lucky all through my journey to find MI very fast, to find the good people very fast. So I avoided most of the low IQ, spammy, useless sort of Shiller garbage. And within the good people, I managed to find like a very small circle of really good people with whom we are like, you know, doing our group Zooms every week and like talk on a daily basis. And I remember when we first sort of did our little like training session or whatever I would call it with Sean, like somehow I was chatting with Fred, and Fred was like, oh, can I join? And I was like, oh my God, Fred is joining, the Fred, like, wow. You know, and then we became friends as well. And we have another guy who's also incredibly funny and smart, and whom apparently I think I also just chatted up randomly in a DM, like a good scammer. So I got really lucky. So that's a major factor in how everything played out and sort of came together. And now I completely forgot if there was any question or what that was.
Well, I think part of that is luck, but I also think you have kind of like a discerning attitude about what you dove into. And so you probably, as you gained strength, understanding and seeing what the Shillers were like and what the kind of the low budget stuff was, that you started, you know, I think it was great that you found MI and you found people in different groups that could help you. But I think that's also part of your ability to kind of judge and discern who's actually quality and who's not. And I think also something that happened during that time frame is you got very engaged in the community and you were helping us dramatically improve yep. kind of the discourse and keep everybody on track. And anyway, I think you kind of honed your ability to recognize good people like Sean, right? And people who were legit and weren't out to scam everybody. So that's great.
Yeah. I guess the whole atmosphere in MI is kind of like that. It's everyone helping the other person. And since you guys were helping me so much, like it wasn't even a conscious thing. Like I wanted to give back. Like I remember after you helped me set up the MTF bot, I helped another, I don't know, 20, 50 people set it up. I
love it.
Later on. So it's like, you know, you do the same thing wherever you can.
That's great. I love that came out of that. You know, we're very liberal with the banhammer and all of that. So anyway, but thank you for helping out much. So you kind of like started down this path of, okay, I want to really understand better how this works. Sean, can you help me? Can you train me? What was that process like? I mean, for you was diving into kind of technical analysis. Was that something that you kind of already accepted had some relevance and you could believe that it actually worked, or kind of where was your head mindset around that at that point?
I think I always accepted it because I saw it like not the overdone kind of TA with a gazillion lines in the charts, but right. I sort of grew into recognizing chart patterns myself. So like some of that, translating that into, you know, valid patterns or valid tools kind of made sense to me. It's just put a name to it and put a correct application to it and get the principles right. And what I loved is how also Sean trades is keeping things simple. And simple usually makes sense. You don't need to overcomplicate anything. And that's what we did. And, you know, he was trying to also not just, you know, teach me some of the trade craft, but also like, come on, Hemi, like, sell those fucking shit coins already.
he was indoctrinating you.
To be completely fair about it, because like I'll give you my perspective at the time. Was first of all, Hammy, and I'm sure she may or may not remember, she contacted me and she said, oh, can I pay you to teach me TA? And my initial thing is going, no. like I, you know, because what Hammy said there about you know, people help you and you pass it on, it to me is a key thing. It's what makes this so different. So any of the nonsense that I may be able to help with people with is what people have helped me in the past.
That's awesome.
And also there's this misnomer about, you know, that I'm some kind of TA wizard. I'm not. What most traders, and I'm going to, like Hammy was the only person that I'm aware of who called the Pico top of the market. Yeah.
Nice.
With TA, I mean the Pico fucking top of the market, okay? I remember it well. And that's not something I... What people, in my opinion, do is they... This is a mentally grueling business, yeah? Yep. Okay? And so most of the stuff over the years with people I've worked with is nothing to do with going, oh, look, there's a Ninverse hammer candle or any of that kind of nonsense. It's a go. It's a go. Hang on. You know, if you're going to make a decision, okay, your brain is your tool. Be nice to your brain. Chill. You know,
right.
And the other thing, the only other thing I have to add, which is of any value whatsoever, is a bit of tradecraft. Yeah, is to do this. And I wasn't anti the shitcoinery, to be clear. Yeah, I mean, and Hammy was more an investor than a trader. The point I made to her actually before the May crash is, if the market moves, okay, it is not possible to respond on 150 different assets.
No, right.
So, yeah. you know, why not? Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't really, I joke about, you know, shit coins and so on and blah, blah, blah. And again, during a bull run, I'll shit coin with the best of them. But this thing that, because what happens, and anybody who remembers May, is that you got no time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you think of it like this, that, you know, you go, look, I want to adjust my positions, and you've got, you know, this thing is tanking in the space of 1 or 2 days and you've 150 positions. Good fucking luck to you.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And
so it's more days. It's more the practicality and the mental strain of that, which for me is negative EV. But anyway, back to, well, you know, so Hammy knew everything she wanted to know about TA, right. Lacked a bit of confidence in it. I remember when Hammy sent me her, I think this is the Pico top. I did force you to do a measured move. I forced you to post it because you were fucking right. But it's a bit of self-confidence.
Yeah, because I remember, like, I'm sorry to cut into your words, but I do remember. I was like, yeah, it's a channel. Yeah, it like has a measured move, but it's not going to play out. Like, this is
break
not
it, going break to Break it down out. For us, Hammy. How did you know?
Well, there was a clear channel, sort of like a bear flag going on, and reconfirmed the center line. I don't know, that was fairly obvious. You can make a measure move of that, which came out to somewhere between 15 to 17K. But all the time I was telling Sean, like, I can see this, but this is not going to happen. This is not a bear market. Maybe we're having a tiny bear phase, but like, no. Like, I was literally like not believing my own stuff until in the autumn, big name execs and US government officials started selling their shit.
Yeah.
That's when I thought, like, oh, fuck, this is actually happening.
Yeah,
and that's when I finally started parting with, you know, some of my shit coins, and then I was like, so hey Sean, can you teach me how to fuck the short? So, you know, because like I do like some confidence. I agree in that, because even if I know something, like the first time I do it, I like to do it with Sean, so he's looking at my screen, so I don't make like a big fuck up of it all. I don't know, but like,
no, that's awesome just, to have someone that'll mentor you that way.
Yeah.
Was this kind of a point where you could, and I'm sure you're there now, but where you can look at a chart and you start seeing the TA without even like drawing the lines? Like you can look at a chart and kind of see what the indications are there for what's happening.
To some extent, yeah, but like I'm not by any means like very good at TA.
Okay.
And I don't do the kind of TA, like I don't even trade the kind of shitcoin time frames. Like I usually trade similarly to Sean, like longer time frame positions or very low time frame positions. So I usually don't do like day trading or like 4 hour, 1 day chart type stuff. So I probably have less of an idea of what price will do in the next couple of hours or day than you know, 70% of people in the MI chat. I think what I do reasonably well, maybe, is sort of the context and the higher time frame stuff, which helps me, you know, pick positions based on that, or just give sort of a range for my low time frame scalping, because that's what I like to do, the 1 minute, 15 minute chart. So basically, for me, what I like to do and what makes sense and where I'm trying to transition to is the kind of trading where doesn't matter if price is going sideways or doing nothing for half a year, going up or down, I can still make money. So right. I'm trying to ensure I have the skill set to capitalize from the market, no matter what the conditions of that market is. Because if you can only make money on a big short move or a big long move or, you know, anything like that, that happens maybe, you know, 10% of the time. But most of the time, the market is doing fuck all or just chopping. And, you know, so for me, the goal would be to have a kind of skill that lets me go out there, gather some money regardless.
That's awesome. And of course, learning how to short is a critical component of that, and actually being able to, since we really can't here in the US. Yeah. What was the process like of learning how to short, and then how to combine those strategies for like hedging and everything else that you're probably doing currently?
Geez, I don't even remember how we started shorting. But
are you trading on BitMEX primarily?
Well, now trading on BitMEX, like I used to trade. Well, it was a big transition to go from like spot to perps.
Right.
In the first place, like, you know, I would assume first I would have tried longing, because that comes more naturally to more people. But then, you know, I had accounts on like countless exchanges. I think my favorite was FTX though at the time, well, not knowing.
Yeah, of course.
Dangerously I was playing, but, yeah, so I started shorting there, and I had, you know, a couple of accounts, and, I was basically fucking around with $100 positions. So that was the thing, like, don't go out and start shorting with any size. You right. do it with $100, because what you want to be measuring is the percentage gains you're able to do in a given time period. And you know, once you're able to make money, then you can put the size next to it. But if you can't, then you're better off just losing the $100 rather than 10,000 or 50,000. So, you know, but it had to be real money. Like, otherwise your kind of emotions are not engaged, and you're not getting the same lesson.
Right.
If you have nothing on the line. So I remember doing that for a while. And then, you know, I set up my BitMEX account, because I was afraid of that, because, you know, BitMEX is, you know, Bitcoin in, Bitcoin out, inverse swaps. And I was like, at that time, I already realized the difference between Bitcoin and everything else. And I thought, like, Jesus Christ, the amount of Bitcoin I lost. Because I was trading like US dollars against shit coins, like on all old BTC pairs and like also on my bots. And I totally did not appreciate, you know, that Bitcoin.
Right.
Like that is definitely one of the lessons, to sort of appreciate profit and money a lot more, because once you're in the game, they feel like casino chips. But
yeah,
when shit hits the fan and it's the bear market, then you realize it's not actually casino chips. It's your fucking money.
Yeah.
So like, I definitely did not appreciate that. And, you know, when I set up my BitMEX account, I did already. And I was like, okay, like 0.1 Bitcoin, like, that's going to be 100K one day. So I'm not going to just like throw around on some, you know, random whatever position. Like I really need to pay attention because even a 0.1 Bitcoin will be worth a lot of money one day. So you kind of want to make sure you don't fuck it up. And that's when the real fun began of actually learning to play a contract with an edge and kind of trying to go into the kind of trading where you're focusing on where you have an edge and realizing that 150 assets, you don't have an edge because you're like, you're dividing your attention.
Right.
And you're kind of, I mean, even though my method was well planned, probably someone with, you know, throwing darts at different things would have come to a similar result. So in a way it was useless other than, you know, a learning lesson. But now I'm kind of more focused on Bitcoin and maybe one or two other assets, know those charts well, follow those charts and make trades only when it really makes sense. And when your mind is in the right place, you're not bogged down with other stuff in real life or wherever, you're not stressed, or just like scalping away. No matter where the price is, you can always call the 1 minute. So, you know, try to focus on stuff where I have an edge and kind of hone those skills, not learn anything additional, but more like having found hopefully the areas where I could be better in the future and just like focus on those, honing those skills. So that's pretty much where I'm at right now.
Did you find, I think anybody that hasn't done perps initially sees that as really complex and scary. Did you find it more difficult to learn than other things you'd learned in this game?
No, not at all. Not at all. Like it's exact same thing. And just like try it with $100, fuck up as many times as you can. And then you're good. Like you have to go through it. And trust me, like I've lost a lot of money. Not lost as in not net loss, but
right.
I don't have a very exact, I haven't calculated it exactly, but the way I feel, I think my unrealized profits are greater than my realized profits in this 2.5 years,
right?
Which is very painful, but I guess that's what will happen for most people.
Are you still scalping? You're still scalping and balancing that with longer term trading, I would gather.
Yeah. So I've had several positions, some of them open since November, was it 21? 21 November was that?
Wow.
Or 22? I like the top of the market. I'm not sure which year that was anymore. But the November, you know.
Yeah.
When we double topped and swing failed the previous top. I've had shorts open since then, and I'm still short and scalping, you know, but scalping is like long short, it doesn't matter.
And you're scalping on spot or you're
no, Max, like I don't do spot anymore.
So you're 100% perps.
I'm 100% perps. I'm 100% inverse swap and quanto contracts, which is kind of shitcoinery on BitMEX, as in like I'm shorting Sol and shorting ETH with Bitcoin, which is kind of a more risky play, but I'm gathering absolutely fantastic funding on those positions. But it's more risky because if those shitcoins start running against Bitcoin, then I'm losing at an exponential pace. So you have to pay attention to your margin and like how you manage different positions. And I mean, I do fuck up even today from time to time. It does happen. But the thing is, like, I'm not losing money. I may be losing time on some of my accounts. That's why you have multiple accounts. So you can, you know, if you have a position that's underwater, but not at risk and collecting a nice amount of funding, then you just leave it because it's making you money. But, you know, you want to take other positions, then you go over to your second, third, fourth, fifth, whatever account, and, you know, you can still sculpt there. So that's pretty much what I do. I am 100% on BitMEX right now. Like I closed down my Binance a while ago. FTX obviously gone, and some of the other more shady exchanges I don't want to touch at the moment, other than, you know, keeping the accounts there in case in the future bull run I might have to buy some Canto, which I'm gonna do as well. Yeah. I also awesome. Like so
Ami, well, you should talk about your NFT journey, by the way, because Ami was one of the big NFT things. But like what I find useful in this is like, if somebody was starting today, I mean, you know, we all went down this path and I ended up where I ended up. What would you say to somebody starting today?
That was my next frigging question.
Yeah, sorry, Brad. Sorry.
No, that's all good. I'm glad somebody else did it.
I mean, it is difficult because people, I think they do have to go through some of this. Like, there's no way around it. Like, you can't say, don't buy shitcoins and just buy Bitcoin, because they will not believe it until they see it. So that's not something I can recommend, because it would make no sense for people, because then they would just be listening to a random person on the internet. The other thing is, I'm losing my
if you had a close friend that said, mm-hmm. wow, Hammy, you're making a living, you're successful trading, you're comfortable, probably happier, and they said to you, I really want to learn how to do this. Would you say to them, let me train you on perps today, starting now? Or do you think that it's still required that they go down that journey of shitcoinery to learn the hard lessons?
Maybe not the shitcoinery specifically, but everyone needs to put in their own time to learn. Go through all the resources on the internet, read some books, you know, look at crypto creds, series on YouTube, on the basics of trading, look at 500 different videos on, I don't know, support, resistance, swing failure patterns, and all. Like, you have to go through that, and you have to be willing to learn and understand, because one thing I see in this space, and that is something I absolutely dislike, and that's a mild word to put it, because a lot of people are shitting on others. Like, a lot of people are shitting on, let's say, Capo for being overly bearish, or saying he's retarded or whatever. And these are people who actually have the knowledge of probably 5% of what that guy knows. Maybe his positioning or maybe his idea is wrong, but if that person knows 100 times more than me, then at least I should have the decency to do my own fucking learning before I shit on someone. Nice. And don't shit on someone with just, oh, like, this is retarded, or this is ridiculous, or oh, everyone's like, the idiots are calling for 6K, or idiots are calling for new all-time high. Like, I really hate that. Like, because most people don't have the knowledge that person who makes a call, and like, don't shit on it. Like, learn the thought process and why that person is saying that, and counter with an equally valuable argument and valuable thought process. Because most people, to be honest, I feel like they don't want to put in the time to learn the thought process, to learn you know, all that's behind it and just saying, oh, macro, whatever, it's like 100 moving pieces, you cannot know. Yeah, you cannot know, but you can learn to know the 100 pieces. It will still not give you a very specific price for Bitcoin in the next 10 minutes, but at least you're not commenting on something without knowing absolutely anything.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping I'm making some sense. And
you are.
That's one thing that's really pissing me off in the space, to be honest.
Yeah, it's constant and it's in every aspect of it. And it's a product of emotions and cult and the whole bit. Niblet said the emotional maturity of the humans in this space may be its biggest risk. And I certainly agree with that. And I agree with you. I think it's hard to find people that you can just collaborate with and disagree with without, you know, having attacks start flying in every direction. But the more people like you and Sean and the rest of us that try to take a positive approach to learning, I think, you know, we have an opportunity to spread that. So that's great. I have another really important question for you.
Okay.
And that is, did you ever say the words fuck all before you met Sean?
Oh, probably not.
here's an interesting thing, Amy, because like I think very few people who, when you do this full time, understand the emotional fucking like stress of it. Yeah. Having been doing this now for 3 years and finding your way, which may be different than other people's ways, okay, do you ever see yourself stop doing it? Or we can talk about the pain and like you've made money, fair play to you in your first cycle. I keep saying this to Amy, people who make money in their first cycle, they don't understand what a rarity they are. But like, right. Do you see yourself doing this? Is this it? You know, other than when you retire to an island somewhere, yeah?
Yeah, like I don't see anything else I would be rather doing, because this one I can do by myself. I don't have to talk to any idiots if I don't want to.
Yep.
And they have no influence over how much money I make or don't make. And I have full control over it. I am fully responsible for how much I'm learning every day to become better. That's probably also key. Like, it's not, oh, the market is doing this and therefore I am, you know, in a loss or whatever. No, the market is not doing anything. Like, you are the dumbass who took the wrong position or the wrong risk management or did not have a clue what you would be doing if the trade went the other way. So like, I see tremendous value in this. And you know, as long as we have internet, if the world is burning, I can still make money.
That's awesome.
And that's good.
Well, and you know, something that you just said in terms of risk management, I think that you kind of approached everything with a detailed approach to research and market conditions and what the value or fundamentals of given projects were and everything else. But I also think you were a bit nervous. Did you find that being able to engage and implement, you know, kind of stringent risk management was easy for you, or was that something you also had to learn to get better and better at?
Oh yeah, I had to learn. Like, but what was a good wake up call? I think it was one of the MI shows, probably around April, May, with Keith and Sean. When Sean did the intro into hedging, which is a video I watched like 5 to 10 times over the last 2 years, because I was trading completely naked, like. And today I think
maybe explain what naked trading is. I mean, in case
people get the
wrong idea. Okay.
Sorry. So I had clothes on, obviously. It's just that my positions were naked. So I had a fuck ton of spot shitcoin positions that were not protected for the downside whatsoever.
So in other words, you didn't have shorts against those or other.
Yeah, I didn't have shorts. Order,
if it went down, you were going to still balance out your, you know, to hopefully break even or make money.
Yeah. And I didn't have like a kill switch that's like sell everything all at once, you know? So,
right.
You know, with like 150 different things, and you start, you know, scaling out, the market has already, you know, gone down. So like that is insanely irresponsible in hindsight. But I didn't see the risk in that in the beginning, obviously. So yeah, and some of the resources helped me understand, and some of the market movements, obviously, like, you know, when your first loss, big loss happens, and by loss, I mean, you're still in profit, but you lost a big chunk of your unrealized profit, which is equally as bad. Then you kind of see the point in, okay, like I need to up my game in this regard. And then, you know, that's how I actually started to learn shorting, so I can short the shit perp on FTX to hedge my spot shitcoin positions. So that's how it started. And then, you know, because most of my life in crypto has been in a bear market, like now I actually, I feel like I don't want to long. I just want to short. Like it's just
interesting
thing. And, you know, because I don't want to buy a lot of shit coins next cycle, I definitely see the only value in Bitcoin for the long term. Short term, I will buy some shit coins for cycle length trades, but I do not anymore think that any of those will amount to much, maybe one or two, but then, you know, we'll see when that happens. Like I got pretty disillusioned with the shitcoin space, and also NFTs helped a lot with that, because I started doing NFTs on Sol when that sort of became a thing. Like I had to learn, I had to try, I had to dive in, you know, 20 hours a day sitting in Discords, gathering alpha and information on how that space works, and like what's good to mint, what's good to buy, when to sell, whatever. So I did a whole other cycle of learning that. But I became pretty disillusioned, because I feel that the overwhelming majority of actors in the space are basically, or how to put, like they don't have the same, what's the English word? Not morale, but
ethos, like, values.
Yeah, values or responsibility. Like if I were doing a project, like I would be totally like, I could not sleep if my users were left with, you know, a shoddy product, or I'm too slow to deliver, or I, you know, I don't make it a success. Like, but most people, they don't give a fuck. I mean, yeah, these are like sometimes 18, 20 year old people, project founders, and it's like easy money, easy come, easy go. Okay, well, we just fade out. We just don't do it after 2 months, because we already collected the big money in the beginning, because we bought their coins, we bought their NFTs. So what's the point in them, you know, continuing anything? And like the majority of stuff, I feel like, is this way to begin with. And like another part of it is ending up this way because of whatever circumstances, that's how it turns out. Right. And I don't feel like most people have that kind of inner drive to actually like create value on a lasting sort of time scale for the people. And I got really disillusioned. I got disappointed. So now I'm like, the only thing I actually want to invest in is Bitcoin. All the rest is tools for me to trade for more Bitcoin.
All right. So you are, would you say you are essentially a Bitcoiner at this point?
At this point, yes. I'm touching shitcoins for the, you know, financial gain, but I'm not investing in them because, you know, I think Solana is going to be the, you know, chain of the future for adoption, whatever it may be. But the thing is, and that's what people like don't understand, some of these projects may actually make it, but that doesn't mean that the coin belonging to that chain will have a gazillion dollars value. it may still be at $20 because like the value of the coin is not determined by fundamentals. I mean, it's not determined by fundamentals only on the stock exchange either. And there you have at least shares,
right?
You know, like you have, you know, a bit more rights, but here you're buying the fucking coin. I mean, you're not even getting shares of the company, which is not even a company because we are in Web3. So you know what I mean? Like it's so many layers and layers of thin ice, or what I call piss and fart at this point. And I feel like, you know, I don't want to invest in it. I can trade it, and I do with moderation, I think, compared to what I did. But in terms of where I want to accrue value and where I want to put my money, that is only Bitcoin. And everything goes back to Bitcoin.
Chuck asked, do you still trade manually or do you have automation and tools that you use?
I only trade manually now. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I will do the bots again in the bull run because I feel like I don't have good short strategy bots. I have good long strategy bots and they are more prudent to use in the bull market. So I'm not running them. At the moment, they like you can run them profitably, but for me, that would take up too much time away from my other activity to be worth it. So I only do trade manually at the moment, yeah, and have been for, you know, since the top of the market only manually.
In terms of the longer term trades, how often, well, let's talk about all of them. I mean, how often are you trading, say, in a given day in either strategy? Is this something where you're making a lot of trades on the scalping side and maybe, you know, much less frequently on the longer term side? Or kind of how much are you doing now compared to what you were like?
So like the longer term trades, some accounts I don't open for months because like I know... you know, if you set up the trade with the right contract, with the right parameters, you know you're not at any risk of liquidation by far.
Right.
So, you know, you can leave that alone a couple of months. I just log in and just like check on it. But I'm not, I don't have to do anything with that other than, you know, keeping up with my TA. Kind of from time to time to make sure, you know, I know the context and I know where things are going in the big picture. But other than that, you don't need to even tend to those.
How much time goes into planning those?
I would want to say a lot, but I'm not that smart. So I'm just like, you know, they're not something masterful or mysterious or whatever. Maybe one day they will be. I don't like not a lot, like just like any other position.
Okay.
Basically, like it's a trade. It's just that your mindset. Actually, I would even say that probably you can get away with a lot less planning and a lot less precision. Because it's a longer term trade,
right?
You can sort of play with your entry. You can manage your entry. Like you would plan to enter in a range and then, you know, you can drag that up or down based on long or short and, you know, manage that within a couple of weeks until you find your sort of right position, which you can then leave alone for months. So you don't have to be that precise. And I also don't use stop losses. I use other forms of risk management. So, you know,
in terms of your overall revenue from trading, is it majority on the longer term split evenly or?
To be honest, I don't keep an exact account of my revenue, neither from NFTs or from trading. I always feel like it would be probably a painful reminder of how much I may have lost on some NFTs if I recorded how much SOL was at the time when I bought them or whatever. Like I have a good idea roughly, but like
I meant the comparison between longer term and the scalping.
I don't think I even know.
You think like it's about even?
I think there's a thing there, which a lot of people, if this is your living, you know, this is what, you know, pays your beer every day or every week, is that you really do need to think about your position and go, okay, I've got my long-term wealth I'm trying to build and you can position that. But, you know, I have to pay the electricity bill this month. So I need a method or to find some way to extract value in that game that's going to give me an actual salary, an income. For me and Hammy, that's scalping or whatever. It can be something else. But again, if you intend to be full-time in this, you know, obviously you're in it for the long-term wealth, but you're also going, you know, I've got a week today or tomorrow or whatever. Yeah.
Right. Makes sense. Keith said, when you're trying new things, you don't know what you don't know. You took a deep dive on Slaw and NFTs. What do you know now about that space or that coin that you didn't realize before?
I genuinely thought people want to build lasting value, and I just realized that people are the same everywhere and they are gone when shit hits the fan. It's the bear market. They close up shop. They are more stupid. Like, I usually believe people are smarter than me. That's my sort of base case. And I usually find out they are not. Like, so many. And it's not because I'm super smart. I'm not, okay? But some people are, like, just unbelievable. Like, so many projects, not only do they keep their treasury in Solana, they would keep it on FTX, like, you know what I mean? So, and I would have imagined, like, if you have an NFT project and you have, you know, monthly overhead, like, you would sell some fucking Solana in the 200s, or, you know, when you see it starts going down, then you're, you know, start to sell some of your holdings to make sure you have a couple of years of runway. But most of the projects didn't do that. And even those who did, they held most of their either USDC or Solana on FTX. And then, you know, last year they basically got totaled and have to close down shop completely. And like, I always assume that, you know, people are just smarter than that. So I guess that was a big revelation for me. And that they also don't care. Like, yeah, they would just start the next project 2 weeks later, same founders, just basically launching a 10K collection and people will mint it and they have $1 million again. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, and then you get kind of disillusioned, like, okay, if that's the game, I'm going to mint it. I'm going to fucking sell it the next day. 2X, 3X, I'm out.
Yeah.
Then, you know, but people are there in this space kind of moralizing, like, oh, you don't want to dump on people. I mean, we want to see where this project develops and like blah, blah, blah. And then you're kind of the bad guy if you're dumping on day one, which is kind of stupid because, like, you know, I mean, that's what I've learned that you should be doing, and you should not be punished or spoken down to if you do that, because we are all here, I assume, to make money.
Exactly.
Just like people are saying, like those who short are like somehow bad people because it's a bad thing to short. And I'm like, well, good luck longing without someone willing to short.
Yep. There you go. That's right.
And then people are talking about like, oh, I have tremendous respect for you for not shorting ever. Like, oh, I wouldn't short the market. It could never be me. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, seriously. Like, if everyone just longs and buys, the price is either zero or infinite. Like,
yeah.
Like, just you know, like learn some fucking skills. I'm sorry, I'm getting agitated at this point.
All right. Speaking of agitated, you know, you know, there's a Michael, we have a Michael in the Material Indicators group. Well, for some reason we attracted Michael's grumpy ass old grandpa. And he posted up a comment. He said, finally, a guest worth listening to. This show is normally like an HOA meeting in my retirement community. So, I'm not sure how we ended up with Grandpa over here on DeFi Launch, but we did. So, you know, if you haven't been hanging out here, there's all kinds of, it takes all kinds. Niblet said, HOA meetings are my only opportunity to tell other people my stories, that and the Walmart guy. Keith asks, Hammy, what risk management strategies are you using in lieu of stop loss?
Okay. Position sizing, primarily. So I'm usually would be way under 1x. Okay. So top spot. But again, I'm only trading Bitcoin margin contracts. So, you know, some of the things I say or do may not apply to USDT perps.
Right.
And also the exchange, you know, how much your fees are, and, you know, funding is entirely different on the coin margin. So there's a lot of factors that come into it. But I manage my risk with position size. So I always have a good amount of margin left with which I can DCA an entry, drag it up, and take it out on a 25% retrace of the move, which is one of the most genius things that Sean taught me. And it makes sense, and it comes from fibs. Like, fibs are one of the best things in trading.
Can you walk us through what you mean by all that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Because, you know, when I say 25% retrace of the move, I don't mean a 25% drop in Bitcoin price. What I mean is, like, let's say I'm short and there's a move up from my entry. And, you know, there's a 236, a 382, a 5, a 618, you know, fib level. And usually every up move is followed by at least a 236 or a 382 fib retrace. So that means around 25 to 30% retrace of that particular move is always bound to happen at key levels. So if you fuck up your short entry, but you have enough margin, then you can slap on a 3x DCA. So let's say you were at 0.25x to begin with, and then you become a 1x short at the key level. And at the retrace, at 25%, you can take out your 3x at break even, because your price with a 3x would have moved up 75%, if I'm making any sense.
Yes, you are to me. I'm sure that folks that have not messed with fibs are probably a little lost, but that's okay. I think those that are here aren't asking the questions probably.
So anyway, the point is, like, you can DCA a position without swelling that position into a huge size, because what your goal is to move the entry up, not to end up with an oversized position.
Yeah, so, I think the other thing I'd say there that people are you know, are worried about shorts, and, you know, when you talk about inverse swap contracts, when you play this game that we play, okay, your worst case position is you cash the dollars.
Yeah,
it's literally your downside is your dollars. Yeah, you go, I fucked up. The literal worst case position you can be is to be as if you cashed into dollars. So, again, this is one of the things, because I know fuck all about TA, whatever Hammy says. And, you know, when we started talking, it was literally going, look, there's two sides. One is just the emotions, yeah,
right,
and the stress, and being calm about it. And the other thing is, you know, what I term tradecraft, which is, you know, when you look at these things, you know, being short Bitcoin or long Bitcoin, you know, one way versus the other are worlds apart, so that you can play this game where you're, if you fuck a trade up, the fuck up is like you just cashed in some of your Bitcoin. Right. That's as bad as it gets.
Right, right.
And extremely rare. So, you know, that was it. The other thing I was going to interject with Hami is that, which I think is really useful for people who are starting out, is, you know, find the right Telegram groups. And you have to go through all of them. You know, I'm sure you have to go through BitBoys or fucking MM Crypto and all these dickheads. But ultimately you find the right. And then out of that, spin out your own little group of three or four people with different skills, different market views. And like we did this in this cycle, you know, where there's, you know, I think four of us.
Yeah, four of us, yeah.
And all different views, you know, all different, you know, we may not agree on things, different approaches. And like we shoot the shit at weekly close for 3-4 hours, mm-hmm. but talking about the market and talking right. about, you know, because that kind of resets, you know, we can all have biases. Yeah, we can all go, oh, you know, like the market's fucked or we're going to the moon or whatever. But having those kind of real world conversations as well is, I think, that's something that, but with dissimilar people. Yeah, with right. people who may not share your views or look at the markets fundamentally different. I don't know, I mean, I could be putting words into your mouth there.
No, absolutely right there. And you're probably cleaning up my, I don't know, ramblings here.
No, this is brilliant. I'm with Michael L., you know, us old guys stick together. Yeah,
Wilfred. And, you know, look, I think there's a lot of, that makes a ton of sense, right? We often kind of get sucked into a world of people that agree with us, but actually hanging out with the people that disagree with us allows us to kind of expand our brains and our insights and the things we actually are willing to think about. And if you have a level of respect for the people that you're talking to every week, then that actually makes it more plausible that you will grow and expand what you think about and what you approach. So I think that makes total sense. Love that.
Yeah. And like try to think of other people as not idiots right off the bat, but try right. to ask them, why do you think that? Because I've recently left a couple of reasonably good Discord groups because I found that people are just shitting on others that don't agree with them. Yep. And they don't even ask the question, oh, hang on, why would he be saying that? Maybe he has a good reason. Maybe he's not an idiot.
Right.
Because if you don't ask that question, then you end up with a group of people who just agree with each other and learn absolutely nothing.
Yep, exactly. It's either worshiping one person in the group or the insecurity of those people that are beating on people becomes evident. When you can have those reasonable conversations with people you disagree with, it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
That's great.
Absolutely.
So if somebody came to you today and said, Hami, teach me what you do, I really want to learn. Do you feel like you're confident enough to do that?
No, absolutely not. Sean forced me to do it, though. Like, there are two victims currently who
nice.
I'm kind of like, I'm not really mentoring them because there's like literally fuck all I can offer. But, you know, I'm in a small group with them, providing absolutely zero useful information. But apparently, Sean said it would be useful for me.
Learn by teaching.
It's causing me so much stress, but which is not difficult because I'm a very stressful person. anything can cause me stress.
There is also that, again, that's what I love about this game. Like 99% of anybody in the Telegrams I've ever been in knows this. 99% of people disagree with me. I'm cool with that. I have my views. I can articulate my reasons and people can go, you're wrong. That's fine. Yeah. But
right.
But what you don't realize is what you've learned when you're in these groups by listening to people. And again, as Hami said, if somebody disagrees with you, you know, the normal thing is, or you're a hater or whatever. No, ignore it. So why? Tell me why. Tell me how you're thinking about the market. Yeah. And maybe we can both learn. But what the ethos of, because there can be a lot of negative things about this space, but there's also really positive ethos as well, which is any things that I've learned were given to me freely by people. Yeah.
Sure.
And you do have some kind of a responsibility to pass that on.
Yep.
And absolutely. Also, people don't know what they know, because, like, you know, Hammy is the only person I know in all of CT and everywhere who called the Pico fucking top of the market.
Nice.
I'm sure there were others, like, and I wasn't called.
We were in the middle of Laser Eyes 100K, fucking, you know, guaranteed, just long 60, and you're going to get to 100K. And it was clearly bullshit. And Hammy called it. And nice. Like, you know, again, you don't know what you've learned. That's the interesting thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Until it's pointed out or you have to use it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Niblet says, indeed, why is the only question that matters?
Yeah.
Fantastic. What are you going to take on next, Hammy?
I'm trying to improve myself.
Commodities.
See if I can call the bottom.
there you go. What's your call for the bottom? I'll put you on the spot.
That's good. I love that.
Jesus. I'm actually pretty much with Sean here, probably just 100 times more stressed. But I got my line in the sand. I do believe this is a fake rally, as in, you know, candles are real, but I have been tracking myself how money is leaving the ecosystem. So I kind of view this as a similar run-up that we had in the summer of 21 from 30K to 69. So in my view, that's exactly what's happening here. I could be wrong, but I have a line in the sand around 33K for that to invalidate it. Otherwise, I do think, like, my dream scenario would be 6.4K on a wick.
Wow.
But, you know, anything around 9-10K, something like there, would be my guess. But I'm not calling anything. I never call anything because data changes, situations change. I mean, it's like a constant chessboard with moving pieces. So my sort of idea is to keep watching and make my decisions based on what I see at the time. But for now, general context, bearish on the sort of medium and long term. That being months and like a year or so.
Okay. Do your friends and family understand what you do, and do they think you're nuts, or do they understand that you're gaining a lot of success in this world?
They have absolutely no fucking clue. some friends would be asking, oh, so how is your Bitcoin mining going? Yeah, no, I'm not mining. Like, whatever, it's going well. I guess, well, my best friend who, like, doesn't know anything about crypto or, you know, anything else I do, she was like, when I tried to explain to her some of the things, she was like, oh, that's just bullshit. That's bullshit, bullshit. I was like, yeah, maybe sell your Bitcoin now. And then a few weeks later or months, I don't know when it was, when Sol was at 220 something, I was like, sell your soul now, because I made her buy those things. And then I told her to sell it, and she did. And then she was like, oh, okay, so maybe it's not bullshit, because we went down afterwards.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome. That's fantastic.
Like, I didn't sell all my soul. You know what I mean? Like, I had my sort of best calls for friends, but for myself, I was like, yeah, but, you know, I want to buy some NFTs with it and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, that's definitely something I would do differently, is to make the exact same calls for myself and don't
trust yourself.
Yeah, like, don't go for the narratives of, like, just I should have sold all my fucking soul. And if I buy an NFT, just buy the soul, then sell the NFT in 2 days, sell the soul back to USD, and then on to Bitcoin and be done with it, is what I would have done. But I wanted to play the game. And I don't regret it from the sense of I've learned a lot doing it, but had I not done it and just sold all my soul above 200, I would be way lot richer today, but also probably way less experienced, and that would make me fuck up more in the next cycle. So in that sense, I don't regret it. Net, I didn't lose money, but I did lose a lot more in unrealized shitcoin profits than I gained.
Right. Makes sense.
Which is really sad. And like, it makes me toss and turn at night and I'm angry at myself. But it is, you know, it is what it is. Sean keeps telling me I still did well. I'm like, nah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think if people, like, that's another thing about a lot of these groups, is that people are very prone to, you know, post their, you know, they just made a 10x and so on. Yeah.
Right.
But accompanying that could be the bit where they lost 99%.
Exactly.
You know, I don't think people understand how rare it is. And I say this to Hammy or anybody, if you made money in your first cycle, you are kind of unique.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
And, you know, the first cycle is training. Just the question is, you know, do you learn the right lessons, or, you know, that's it. And as I said, I think Hammy's story is brilliant, because as we come up to the next cycle, whenever that may be, it's very interesting to hear stories of people's experiences. And Hammy's is a success story. I know that she's going to kill me. She's a success story because I once met her and she bought me a pint of Guinness. So that's
nice.
That's an actual win.
That's awesome. Look, I totally think she's a success story. And I think that we all saw her drive, you know, even when she was on 150 shitcoins. I remember just going, holy shit, you're in 150 shitcoins. And I think we saw her drive and resolve to learn and to grow all the time. And I think that's, you know, why she's already been so successful. I think that's just fantastic. I love this story. And I would love to keep track of it. Hammy, I would love to have you come back on and tell us how things are going later. And, you know, you can prognosticate with Sean a few times.
Okay.
Sound good?
Brilliant.
Excellent. Hammy, thank you so much for coming on. Sean, as always, we love and appreciate you being here. Shizzy, Niblets, Keith, Michael, Grandpa Michael, thank you so much for being here to bitch and moan. Get off my fucking yard. Keith, Chuck, Justin, Andrew, Fazal, thank you all for participating, for joining us, for commenting. We love and appreciate you. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please take a minute to rate or review us. If you have not joined our community yet, and you would like to interact directly with Sean or any of the other brilliant human beings that are in there, please go to t.me/missiondefi, and I, for Shizzy today, created a ordinals/BRC20 group, which Sean, I believe, is going to dive deep into his body there. And we're having those discussions, and Shizzy actually has me diving a bit deeper into that than I probably should. Justin says, thanks for the show. We appreciate you. If you're listening or watching, I mean, if you're watching on YouTube, please take a minute to subscribe, click the little bell so you get alerted when new episodes come out, and make sure you smash the thumbs up. It boosts us in the algo and gets us more attention, and Joe and I need all the dopamine we can get. That's it for today. Thank you very much. Sean, we'll see you next week, I guess. Hammy, thank you so much. Would love to have you come back on. And anytime you want to talk about anything, don't hesitate to DM me. Okay. Miss talking to you, and I'm glad to see you, and congratulations on your success.
Thank you guys.
Thank you
easy, guys. Thanks.
Take care, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.